Welcome back to the show. Ted Ramey with you on this Thursday afternoon. We are now joined on the Ring Central guest line by Danny LaRue of Warriors World, Real GM and the Sporting News. Mr. LaRue, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very well, man. Just taking in what was an amazing turn of events yesterday in terms of the Clippers and DeAndre Jordan. And I want to get your thoughts on that whole scene, man, because it was like nothing I've ever seen. I thought it was absurd. I mean, definitely entertaining, but also absurd. I have to imagine that DeAndre Jordan has made a lot of enemies in Dallas. I just, the whole thing, man, it was just downright odd, right?
It really was. And some of that also was accelerated by the way that it was reported, you know, the idea of the Clippers blocking him in, which apparently didn't happen. He just invited them to be there. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of amazing when you really think about it, how rare it is for people like this to change their mind. It has happened. It's not the first time, but it is probably the highest profile time in the NBA because DeAndre Jordan is a very good player, and he's a player who was going to leave an incredibly good Clippers team pretty much helpless because they didn't really have a way to replace him. So it was a circus, and there were definitely ways that they chose that made it more circusy. But at the same time, for me, taking a little bit of time to think about it, it also has an amazing impact on the Western Conference.
Are we going to find out, do you think, why DeAndre Jordan decided to change his mind?
I don't know if we ever will. He's not I've had very few interactions with him, but, you know, I've never, from those limited times, it never really seemed like the guy who would give that, you know, 30-minute, like the equivalent of the old Firestone interviews on ESPN and just explaining the whole thing. I think that would be a good idea for him from a PR perspective, but at the same point, you know, what's happened has happened. And for me, the issue with it was, news might have filtered through and it just didn't make it to us. But, you know, once he made the decision not to go to Dallas, I mean, I think that at that point you just have to let them know as soon as you've made that decision, just so to give them a little bit of a chance to, you know, save themselves, because the team that really suffered here is Dallas, because they went through about a week of time not only thinking that they had the space tied up in him, but thinking that they had their center of the future, and now they distinctly do not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I look at as being, you know, it's a very raw deal that DeAndre Jordan just, laid upon with the Mavericks. Now the Mavericks are left to they're hung out to dry. They have no recourse here because it is during the moratorium. And I guess, you know, this is the point of the moratorium, so these guys can think about the decisions they're making. But at the same time, it does seem like, in a way, I mean, the Clippers were not anyone's fans' favorite before, and now it seems like they've made themselves even more into the NBA's enemy.
I think there's certainly part of that. They definitely have in a certain part of the country, to be sure, and I really hope they put that game on Christmas. I think that one of the dynamics to me of when I got a little bit of flack because I put out a Christmas Day lineup or proposed one yesterday is that part of what you want to do with that is you want to get storylines that casual sports fans can connect with. And I think that's one of the easiest ones for people to connect with is somebody, you know, somebody makes a verbal commitment to somebody else and then they change their mind. And, you know, it's easy to explain. Like, that's not something that's hard, and it's very kind of personal. People could connect with it. So I would love to see that even more than something like Clippers Warriors, because that would also open up the Warriors to face somebody like the Rockets, which I think would be a fun Christmas Day game, too.
Now, I think the Christmas Day game should be the Warriors and the Cavaliers, because Kyrie Irving just thinks it's appropriate for him to keep on running his mouth, surprisingly.
There definitely is an argument for that. I think that the problem with cross-conference things is that they only play twice a year, and so let's say that game happens at Oracle. That means you're going to tell your season ticket holders that the only chance, unless they make the finals again, that they have to see this Cavaliers team is on Christmas. I think that that's why you do those games is within conferences, ideally, because they can come back another time. But in terms of mainstream interest, that's definitely there. And Draymond, of course, had a response to that.
Yeah, I mean, they used to have the Lakers and Heat play on Christmas Day.
Yeah, they've done it before. I'm just thinking in terms of if I were running the league, which sadly I am not. You know, that's the way that I would go with it, because one that I talked about was the idea of, you know, doing OKC against Cleveland, and then you get, you know, LeBron and Durant, because mm-hmm. they guard each other. But then again, you're using one of those two times, and when that can sell, you know, that can get TV viewers to the screen anytime.
What do you think about what the Western Conference is looking at right now? I mean, obviously the Spurs are the team that have reloaded, in my opinion, and look scary. But I mean, there's a whole lot more to the equation right now than just the Spurs and the changes they've made.
Yeah, I think that another huge thing is that Memphis basically brought it back, and they brought Brandon Wright, former Warrior Brandon Wright. Mm-hmm. I think will be a very nice depth piece for them. I'm not completely convinced that they're done. The way that the cap moved up a little bit might open them up. One thing I've thought about for them is if they wanted to move Jeff Green for a guy like Gallinari from the Nuggets, I think that would add some shooting to them. We saw with the Warriors that was a limitation. But they're not in that first tier. The first tier to me is either the Warriors and the Spurs by themselves or the Warriors, Spurs, and Thunder, depending on how optimistic you are about how healthy they'll be. I mean, the Thunder, when they're healthy, they're in that conversation. You know, they're in the top group. But what makes the West so nasty is that the next group is probably a mile better than the next group in the East.
Yeah.
And so then you're talking about teams like the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers would be probably, if Cleveland hadn't, you know, basically reassembled their juggernaut, the Clippers would have been the best team in the East by far. You know, you have that kind of situation. You have, let's see, who else? Well, Dallas is probably having now. Houston made the conference finals. They didn't really, right, as of now, they haven't really lost anything. I mean, so you've got these teams that are going to be tough outs. But when you think about a seven-game series, to me, you think about the NBA, you know, it's really hard for, if they're healthy, for one of those top three teams to not win out. I mean, even this year where a lot of teams got upset early, the team that made it out was the Warriors, and the Warriors were still the best team in the conference.
Yeah, we're talking with Daniel LaRue right now here on the Ring Central guest line. You know, in terms of the Thunder, though, I mean, you alluded to it. You know, how optimistic are you? And I will ask you that. I mean, you're asking a team that has shown a propensity lately to not be healthy to stay healthy. I mean, is that realistic?
I think it's realistic that their top three can stay healthy. They've had ridiculously bad luck with those guys. And they're, I mean, other than maybe Durant's foot, just because I always get scared with lower body injuries, I don't see them as the type of things that are going to repeat. And when you think about bad luck, you don't necessarily think that has to repeat itself. If it was things that were, you know, injuries like recurring, like let's say like a back or something like that, I would be more concerned. So I'm optimistic, but the Thunder need contributions from everyone else. I mean, those guys, Durant, Ibaka, Westbrook, can take them really far. They can take them, you know, top three seed. They can get them, you know, at least into the second, probably even in the conference finals. But in order to win a title, which I think has to be their goal, especially in Durant's last year under contract, they're going to need somebody like Deion Waiters, Enes Kanter, if they match on him, if not somebody like Steven Adams, to be somebody that defenses have to care about, because those guys, the main guys there, can do a really good job and they can carry a team. But when you get into the best of the best, when you get into a team like the Spurs or the Warriors that have multiple elite defenders that you can throw guys, you're never going to stop Kevin Durant, but you can slow him down. And if you need those other guys to be able to step up, because they're going to have less attention. And I am not sold on that, but they have a year to prove me wrong. And they certainly have talent. A guy like Deion Waiters, I mean, he was a high lottery pick. I just haven't seen it from him yet.
Now, assuming that, you know, we do look at what happens next for the Thunder after this season, you know, Kevin Durant opens himself up to the market. You know, and there are people who talk about the Warriors. There are people that talk about the Wizards. There's people that, I mean, suddenly other teams are jumping into the fray. Let's talk about that idea of Durant coming to the Warriors. Now, I thought it was a, you know, just rampant speculation, and now it seems like there might be some validity to it, but As good as I think that the team would be, I just can't help but feeling, Danny, that that's a situation where there's too many cooks in the kitchen, unless I'm reading it entirely wrong.
I think that there's a distinct possibility of that, but I also think that Durant would know what he was getting into. You know, this is a team that already has a championship. By that point, they may very well have a second, and they would have to be giving up some pieces to make it happen. So I think that he would be playing ball if he did that. But why I think it's a possibility is that